Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Congressman Estey, let me ask you first, because everybody remembers Newtown, and you've been fighting against gun violence. Is anything happening?
Well, I will tell you, Alan, not as much is happening in Congress as ought to. It really is shameful that the Senate was unable to get this passed last year, although there is a majority in favor of it. There's bipartisan majority in favor of this in the Senate, and there's overwhelming support in the public. And we were denied the opportunity to take a single vote in the House of Representatives, and that part is shameful. But what I will tell you, what makes me encouraged, and is the commitment of the American people, and that is really being led by not just the Newtown families, who are extraordinary, who I've come to know and respect enormously, but they have joined together across communities around this country, communities that have also witnessed and felt the effects of gun violence, and that's inner cities and suburbs, rural communities and families of veterans, you name it. These families are coming together, joining together, walking the halls of Congress, traveling the country, and I believe that that kind of grassroots movement is going to make the difference. And I think it is a change since Newtown. It really is. And that encourages me. Yesterday I was speaking with a reporter who called about the young people who have gotten involved and engaged. And I think the voices of young people, the religious community, of leaders in the inner city, and of passionate families from Aurora and from Newtown are really helping change the public's understanding of what needs to happen. So now it's going to be up to elected officials to listen to the public and make this happen.
Give us a little bit of insight. You're fairly new to the Congress, but you're smart. And let me ask you, so that we all understand what goes on. When they don't allow a vote, when Boehner doesn't allow a vote on the floor of the House, what's really going on there? What are his considerations?
Well, I'm not sure that I can get into the mind of John Boehner of what his considerations are.
You remember the Trudeau column in which they went inside Reagan's head? I don't know if you remember that whole thing. It was
Yes, I do remember that, as a matter of fact.
I need you to do the same thing. Yeah, go ahead.
I think what I see as my job first is as an elected representative, it is my job to advocate for the people I represent and to try to move this country forward. And that's what I think every representative's job is to do. Now, people have different views of what works well for their district and what they want. Too often right now, we're seeing a partisan sort of gotcha business going on in the House. Mm-hmm. And I think what we're seeing with John Boehner right now is excessive bowing to a relatively small number of extreme folks within his own party who have called the shots, caused a government shutdown that cost us $24 billion, and I frankly think that's probably an underestimate of the damage that it did to our economy, shaved points off of our economic growth, damaged small businesses, hurt veterans. It was appalling and unnecessary because at the end of the day, the deal that was brought forward was something we could have and should have reached in April. It was a compromise, and that's what has to happen when you have divided government. We have divided government. But it cannot be and should not be an agenda of John Boehner or anybody else to say, my agenda is to prevent anything happening at the federal government and to block everything the president does. And that's just an unacceptable agenda. It's not worthy of the trust the American people put in their elected officials.
Yes, but from the point of view of the legislative process, the idea that somebody doesn't let a bill come to the floor up or down, which, by the way, when they're in the minority, they're always yelling, you know, let us have an up or down vote, is because they want to protect their incumbents, right? They don't want them to have to show themselves on this issue.
Well, that's right. And usually when those bills are prevented from coming to the floor, and I'll use the background check bill as an example, I believe we would get the votes if mm-hmm. it came to the floor.
Yeah.
And that would disclose, as you say, it would disclose that there is more support within the Republican ranks for this in ways that some people don't want to show that. Would be uncomfortable for some people. But, you know, we're not elected to have comfortable positions and easy lives. You know, we're elected to do the people's business. And that sometimes uncomfortable and requires leadership and people to stand up for what's right. So it is disappointing. It is disappointing when the speaker doesn't allow us to take votes where there is support. I'll keep fighting for that and do whatever I can do.
But in terms of real politics, as opposed to what you're saying, which is outstanding, in other words, this is what a democracy from the people should be, he's elected to protect his people from embarrassing situations which they'd rather not be in, isn't he?
I think the Speaker of the House is elected to help move this country forward. I really do. I think
okay.
the leadership in both houses is not just elected by their party, but is also needs to be part of the problem solving we need in this country.
Okay.
And that's my view of what he ought to be doing.
Gotcha. Not different from my view. So let me go to the budget. We get a budget deal. What do you make of this? Do the Republicans who are saying no to everything and all of a sudden come up and say, we're going to meet you halfway, at least halfway, does this mean that they've lost?
I think it means that they heard, I suspect it means they heard from their own voters that it was unacceptable to have total gridlock and chaos, that the unpredictability and the government shutdown were unacceptable. And I think that's what they heard. So I talk with my Republican colleagues in the when we're walking over to votes or in committees when there are breaks, and from those who I know who are sensible, sane people, they're feeling frustration about things not happening. And I think that's what the speaker finally heard, is that we do need to have predictability. We do need to have order. We do need to allow things to move forward. So I will tell you, before Christmas, I sent a letter to John Boehner calling for us to vote on this, calling out some specific provisions like unemployment compensation, which I am sad and frustrated that that's not part of this deal because it really ought to be. But we do need to have a compromise bill, and it's important that this get passed, and I do intend to support it. And there are a couple of provisions that people should know what's in
sure.
it, because it's for our region, it's important. For example, it puts $1 billion more into the National Institutes of Health budget mm-hmm. than we would have had if we didn't have a budget. The sequester would go through round two. $1 billion towards fundamental health research is unbelievably important. The Centers for Disease Control also going up. LIHEAP, which is low-income heating assistance, critically important for our region, $169 million more dollars than we would have had without a deal. Head Start, some new money there, important new money to not only fund Head Start programs, but to really expand access to pre-K for all American children. It's an important part of the president's agenda. Something, turning back to gun violence prevention, the Mental Health First Initiative, which helps support mental health services and helps train folks within communities to better identify, particularly young people, who might be having problems and help get them support. It's an initiative I helped work on with Ron Barber, who is a new member of Congress, who was Gabby Gifford's aide, was shot 4 times in that horrific shooting, and he and I worked on that. That's funded as part of this proposal. The CCDBG grants, which provide a lot of funding, particularly in our cities, for important social services support, money for Tiger grants on transportation, a lot of good things. Would I like to see something better? Absolutely, I would. But politics is the art of the possible. It's a fair and appropriate, under the circumstances we're in, it's appropriate, it's rational, which the sequester was not. And this provides the predictability that local towns need. I know that from having served in local government. It provides businesses predictability, particularly small businesses, who I speak with all the time, manufacturers who I meet with all the time, who have just been irate, understandably so, about the chaos and unpredictability of having no budget in place. So I think it is important that we pass this.
Elizabeth Estee is Democrat in Connecticut's 5th District, and she's a newbie. She's been in office since 2013. And Congresswoman, we love the fact that you're with us. And when we come back the next time, let's talk a little bit more.
Thanks so much.